Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Two major funding allocations for the Just Transition Programme in the Midlands were announced today by the government. €108 million is to be spent on bog rehabilitation, and a further €27 million is earmarked for 47 community-based projects. I'm joined now by Minister for the Environment, Climate and Communications, Eamon Ryan, who visited the beautiful Lochbura in County Offaly today. Minister, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
Let me ask you about the Just Transition Programme, what you announced today. You're promising 350 jobs with this announcement. Will all the workers who are losing their jobs as a result of the closure from the two peat-powered stations, I think in Shannon Bridge and Lanesborough, will they get these 350 jobs?
Not necessarily, but a lot of workers in Bordnamona and people with expertise in the area in how we've been extracting peat for the bog, they're the exact same people who have the knowledge now how we can use them as a store for carbon, as a way of restoring biodiversity. So there will be a large overlap, particularly in Bordnamona. It was described, I think, by the CEO of Bordnamona today as a historic day for the company when they turn into a climate solutions company.
Necessarily is the answer. There's, people would say there's not much justness or justice in that just transition. Also, the unions, I think, are expressing concern about the seasonal nature of these jobs. I mean, are they seasonal or full-time positions?
It's about 350 jobs, but a lot of those seasonal, as you say, but it's the equivalent of about over 200 full-time. And that has been the tradition in Bordnamona over the years, that type of seasonal work is very much part of the way the company has historically worked. When it comes to the power stations, which are a different field, but it's in those areas that we're also looking at these 47 additional projects, and they're promoting a whole range of new enterprise opportunities, community enterprise around food, around digital hubs, around tourism, around energy. So as well as the major project of restoring the bogs within Bordnamona's remit, there is that second arm of what the government is doing, supporting local enterprise. And I think that goes on top of what earlier in September was a number of 16 other community projects where we invested further money in this area. So this is part of a process where it's sitting down with the workers, with also the local communities, and saying, OK, what can we do here to, as we transition away from the use of fossil fuels, to start opening up new opportunities? And I think it is, for the Midlands, actually a real opportunity, because we can develop renewable power. We do have a whole range of other ways in which we can use the land and get paid for it, and actually help tackle the both the biological, the ecological crisis we face and the climate crisis.
Okay, so you're
and
saying
pay people for doing that.
Not just a benefit for the environment, but a jobs spin-off as well. I read a headline at 5:30 or so, and it related to another matter. I might ask you about it if you don't mind. It's on-the-spot fines for breaching COVID regulations that are now in place, I think, since Sunday or so. €80 for not wearing a mask on public transport or in retail areas. €500 for organising a party or a gathering, and €150 for attending an event. And it goes on. For example, the €500 for organising a gathering or a party, how will that be policed?
The guards have been involved in this with the Department of Health, and they recognise themselves that, first of all, this is the last line of defence when it comes to policing this. The first thing you do is actually engage with people, explain what needs to be done, encourage different behaviour. It's only at the very last, if you're not successful in all those, do you have enforcement powers. But by giving them enforcement powers, it helps them do their work.
So we saw Gordy visiting a priest, I think, in Cavan during the week. And now these powers have been expressly given by the government to the Gordy. So do you envisage that in some situations, Gordy will be knocking on doors at Christmas gatherings and looking for details and names and possibly issuing €500 fines?
Well, I'm very much more encouraged by what the Garda Commissioner said when he visited the Taoiseach and the Minister of Justice last week and said, in actually addressing this COVID crisis, we have actually done well as a people. The vast majority of people are actually complying. Most of our regulations are actually done on the basis of just looking for public support. And that actually has worked.
But that is a possibility, isn't it?
It is. It's always proper and right that at the back, if you do have laws in place, that you do have a mechanism of enforcing them. But I'll be honest, I think what we've seen with mask wearing from Irish people and in terms of how we're keeping a social distance, the vast majority of Irish people do it. If you go into your local supermarket, look around, you'll see 95%+ of people wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. If you go on a bus or a train, you'll see the same. We have been good at this as a people. Yes, we need to have enforcement powers for the very rare cases where people don't. But actually, the best way of policing this, the way we have been policing this, is as a community policing each other in a sense. It is peer pressure is actually driving most people to do the right thing.
I do understand.
And also a sense of personal responsibility.
But people are seeking guidance and clarity on advice, especially in the run-up to Christmas now. And there is a dull debate going on, as you well know. I might just throw you some quick-fire questions, if you don't mind, just to give me your thinking on a number of issues that are being debated. And we heard from Retail Excellence earlier in the programme. They want indoor dining in cafes and restaurants in the run up to Christmas. Yes or no from you?
We're going to have to decide that on Friday. There won't be a yes or no before that. Cabinet haven't decided yet, and I don't preempt my colleagues.
What's your thinking on it as of now?
I spoke last week on News Talk and set out what I felt is, firstly, I think we do have to protect livelihoods as well as lives. And in my mind, that means we should be opening up retail. We're looking at areas where I think people can start to return to work where you have a controlled environment. And similarly, I think for the health and well-being of our young people to be able maybe just one day a week or for one session a week to go back to college, because it's that mental health and well-being we need to protect. Similarly, there are controlled environments, the likes of churches or indeed gyms or galleries or other such examples where we know it is safe. We can see from the evidence that actually it's very low risk. So I think they would be the next area where we would start to expect to open up.
Are you not at all concerned that we're not going to reach the target set down by NPHET some weeks ago? They're saying that if we reach the 1st of December and we were a good bit below 100 cases per day, that we would have some wriggle room there. We're not going to reach that now by the looks of it.
We may, but we probably, you're right, probably on the path we're on. The numbers have been coming down in the last week, which is very encouraging. We're down to, I think, the last figure I heard yesterday was 100.
Yeah,
and 100. And you always have to look at the 14-day moving average, and that's down to 109. As I said, we're one of the, I think we're in the top two or three countries in Europe in terms of how we've managed to bring the numbers down. It was never, it was going to be that, it has to be an exact figure that we reached. That was the best modelling that NPHET can do. We will listen and we will work with NPHET and our scientific and our health advisors. That is the right approach.
But if you lift the restrictions, Minister, without meeting the target NPHET set down, a lockdown in January is more likely, isn't that correct?
We want to avoid that, and that's why I was saying it's the controlled environments we want to open up as best we can, because I think we can do it. I think we were seeing it under level 3 previously, that we were actually able to stem the rise. Now, I think in what we've shown, that we can reopen schools, we can keep open business, construction industry. And I think as we start to reopen now retail and indeed start to bring some people back into offices in a very controlled way, particularly where we keep rooms ventilated, we know we're starting to learn something about how you manage this.
But hang on a second, you're not aware of this, and I don't want to spring it upon you, but it seems that some members of your own government, I'm reading about what Leo Varadkar has been saying in the Dáil, he's talking about a short third period of enhanced restrictions, he's saying, may be needed in January or February if restrictions are lifted now. Now, this is what business has been warning against. They're saying a third lockdown would be ruinous for their business.
I think we have to try and avoid that. And I think we can. Nothing is certain. I think the plan here is not to suppress the virus right down to zero. I don't think, particularly with our open border with Northern Ireland, that that's a viable option. But I think it is what it has always been from the start, managing this in a way that our health service is not overrun, avoiding a real flare, which we've seen in other countries right across Europe, to keep doing what we're doing, which has been working, and get to the rollout of a vaccine in time so that then the whole country can breathe a sigh of relief. I think we can do that. Nothing is certain. But I think what we've done over the last 9 months as a country gives me confidence that as a people, we will be up to that.
OK, can I ask you about another issue before I let you go? The persistent questioning by people across the opposition benches today in the Dáil about the government's refusal to allow Minister Helen McEntee to make a Dáil statement and engage in fluid questions and answers. Not a pre-arranged scripted questions as she proposed and was rejected. Now, the kind of stuff, I don't know if you've been briefed about what they were saying in the Dáil on the opposition benches. They're saying stuff like, this won't go away, we'll keep asking questions about this, and it relates, of course, to the process of the appointment of Justice Seamus Wolfe. Focus now on the Taoiseach, that he's setting a dangerous precedent to allow ministers of aid accountability, and people in the opposition benches saying that the Taoiseach and the government is giving the impression that there is something to hide here. Is it time for Minister Helen McEntee to come in a format suitable to the opposition and answer questions about this?
Well, I think she offered to do that last week, and she will, as I understand, her oral PQs, her rota in terms of when she has to answer questions, that all comes up next week. The opposition didn't take up the offer that she'd extended, so whether that then those
scripted questions
are asked... Well, I don't know if the provision in the Dáil where TDs can ask ministers questions is our way of managing this, where you can ask, you get to answer about 15 to 20 questions over about an hour and a half period. So it's not a limited or constricted. I don't believe there is, no.
Why not answer all the questions then?
Well, I expect she will. And as said, if the opposition are not willing to take up her offer in terms of she wanted to do it this week, as I understand, well, then I think there will be a chance next week when she goes before the Dáil to answer questions.
But the Taoiseach gave that line. He was roundly criticised by the opposition. They said he was being disingenuous. I put that to you now. Are you being disingenuous? Because scripting your question and sending it in to the minister a week before she gets a chance to answer it at 9:47 p.m, is that suitable?
Well, the question you write down, but then the exchange between yourself and the minister is the ordinary cut and thrust of the Dáil. That's the way the Dáil operates. We do answer questions in that way. And as I said, whether it's that way or whether it's whatever other approach, I think she is or has indicated she will answer those questions. And I think that's right and proper. There isn't any hiding from this. There isn't anything to hide in my mind. One way or the other, if it's done in Dáil questions, I think that is an appropriate approach or is appropriate way of answering the minister's question. That's where we all put ourselves up for every week in the Dáil. It is the right way.
Okay, before I let you go, I'm sorry about this now, but I've just got to hand the 14-day incidence rate for COVID-19 cases. It's still 107 per 100,000, and ICU numbers are up 3 to 36, and the figures that we have, the new cases, 226 new cases and 6 deaths. Now, we don't seem to be making progress towards the target that NPHET set down. Is that a worry for you?
I'd be honest, and we shouldn't obsess, as I said, in the daily numbers, but that number being lower than yesterday's number, which was lower than the number the day before, which was lower than the number before that, I would take that as good news, because that's heading in the right direction, and it's always trend in this is what's important. So that actually, we were thinking yesterday's number was sometimes, you know, after...
I think the line
officially is... low number. Okay. To have those two numbers in the low 200s is actually good progress.
Okay, Minister Eamon Ryan, I do appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed.